Okay, this morning, I want you to take your Bible, please, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, this morning. We had a missionary with us on Wednesday night, and he was describing the Malawian people. And as he was doing so, he was talking about just to them, the Malawian people, how important community is to those people. And he got into some details in describing that, and then he referenced, you know, how, you know, Christian community is an important thing. It's a needful thing. And as soon as he started making comments about that, it just sort of struck a chord in my heart, and had it on my mind ever since. And I want to say some things to us about that as well, these next couple of services. So let's begin this morning, as I mentioned, Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to begin in verse number 24 and read verse 25. You say, you're going to preach on going to church, we're already at church. Well, hold on. You know, a lot of you are familiar with these verses, so you think you know where we're going to go. So let's see what the Lord has for us here. I got to be honest with you, this is a message, and I'm not saying this because I think it's a good one or it's going to be a great message, but I have to be honest and say this is a message that I wish every one of our church people could be here to hear. I really do. I think it's that important. I think it's that needful. Obviously, not everybody can be, but I literally felt that way so strongly before I considered, you know, canceling junior church today, to be honest, to get everybody that was here, because I think it's that important. Now, again, I'm not saying it's going to be great, but I think it's very, very, very important and very, very, very much on my heart, as I mentioned since last Wednesday evening. So Hebrews chapter 10, in verse number 24, the Bible says this, and let us, all right, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, one thing that is incredibly crystal clear in Scripture is that Christians are not to live in isolation. All right? They are not to live in isolation. Now, there in verse number 24 of this passage, we are commanded, all right? We are commanded to do a couple of different things. Number one, we are commanded, the Bible says, let us consider one another, all right? We're to consider one another, all right? Then the Bible says, all right, and that we are also to provoke unto love and to good works, all right? We're supposed to do that. I have a responsibility to do that. You have a responsibility to do that. Then in verse 25, all right, not only are we commanded to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? The Bible tells us there that we are to exhort one another, all right? Now, obviously, you cannot consider one another. You cannot provoke one another unto love and to good works. You cannot exhort one another if you are living your Christian life in isolation, right? You can only do those things if you are around other Christians, right, which is what God requires of His people. Again, you are not to live this thing, and you cannot live it successfully in isolation. Now, not living in isolation, it means this. It means that you are not separating yourselves from gathering together with other Christians, and that you are not separating yourself from not just the gathering, but from the fellowshipping that you need with other Christian people, right? The Christian life, the biblical Christian life, is meant to be lived in relationship, not in isolation. Right. All right? The Christian life, right, is not meant to be a solo journey. You say, why are you saying that? Because this is how some Christians are trying to live their Christian life. Right? And try as you may, you will not be successful as you could be. Right, if you're deciding that you're just going to do this on your own and I don't need anybody else and I don't need a church and I don't need a... Yes, you do. You need a church. You need other Christian people in your Christian life. All right, now, one of the reasons that we are not to live in isolation is for this reason. It's because, as we saw in the text, it's because, listen to me now, we have a responsibility to each other. Right, you have a responsibility to me. I have a responsibility to you, and that goes for every one of us, all right? God gave you a responsibility to the brethren. We already saw that, right? You're to consider. You're to provoke. You're to exhort. All right? That's not just for the preacher. That's for every child of God. You're to do that. We have a responsibility one to another, right? Biblically speaking, you could say it this way. Christians have a moral, a relational, and a spiritual duty. Every Christian does to care for, to support, and to serve fellow members of the body of Christ. Every saved person has that responsibility. Amen. Right? Not just the deacons, not just the trustees, not just the pastor. Every Christian has that. We have that responsibility one to another. Right? The truth is, community is important in the Christian life. And not only do you need it, but as I said, you have a responsibility to it. Now, sadly, some Christians have decided, and they have made the choice, they have chosen isolation over community. Bad choice. Amen. Wrong choice. Right? But some have done that, right? Now, in some cases, let me say it this way. In some cases, Christians that have chosen isolation, let me say this. It isn't that they don't go to a church even, all right? It's just that to them, church is a place they go. It's not a family that they are a part of. And there's a big difference, right? Some people, this is just a place you go. But to others, this is a family that you are a part of. Let me just say this to you this morning. This place should not just be a place that you show up once in a while. Amen. Listen, it needs to be more than that. It needs to be a family that you are a part of. Amen. I wish I could get all of our people to make this a family that they are a part of. But some have decided it's just a place to me that I'll frequent once in a while. Listen, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself, and you're also living in disobedience.
Yes.
I don't hesitate to say that in the slightest. You're hurting yourself, and you're living in... God did not intend for you to be your own little island. You say, well, I have me and my spouse and our family. Listen, God intended for it to be more than just you and your spouse and your family.
Right?
Right? So I'm telling you, it's a decision that some people have made, and it's the wrong decision. All right, so I want to remind you this morning that this church, amen, it should not just be a place that you go. It should be a family that you are a part of, right? You are not just to come here. It's not just about you. See, people, the mistake that Christians make about being a part of a church and going to a church is they make it all about them, right? What do I get out of it? And what's in it for me? And where can I serve? And me and me. It's not all about you. Right, you don't come to church and you don't get a part of a church just for you. You have a responsibility to other Christians. Right? It's about other people. It's about other people as well. So with the message this morning, having made the statement that Christians are not to live in isolation but to be a part of a community, I want to explain to you why some Christians do not. I want to explain why some Christians have made the decision that they are not going to be a part of a community. They're not going to make the church a part of their family. They're just going to be their own little island and try to do it by themselves. I want to explain why they do this. All right? So number one this morning, I want us to notice the causes, but then also we'll notice secondly this morning the consequences of living your Christian life in isolation. Right? Why do some Christians choose to live in isolation rather than in community? Now, these things I'm going to give you, listen, I'll be honest with you, I have seen these things with my own eyes. I have seen and known Christians, right, that have decided to withdraw and stay back and not be a part of something God wants them to be a part of for these very same reasons. Reason number one, and to me, I personally believe this is perhaps the biggest reason why Christians isolate themselves from other Christians and from the church. Number one, because of past hurts. You know how many Christians are not in a church this morning that are just as saved as you and I are? You know how many there are that are out there right now, and the reason they are not in a church, they're not under the preaching and teaching of the Bible, is because they got hurt at a church. They're all over Canton. They're all over Stark County. They're all over where you live, right? They're saved, but they have withdrawn themselves and from the community that God wants them to be a part of and withdrawn from the church, and they live in isolation, and they're a YouTube, you know, church attender, which isn't even real.
Right.
Amen. Amen? That's not going to church. That's not a substitute for church.
Right.
Livestream is not a substitute for church.
Right.
Listen, the whole idea of live stream, what that was intended to be, is not a substitute. It's supposed to be a tool for those that cannot come. Not something that Christians can just fall back on. Well, I'm good because I watched. No, you're not good because you watched it. That's better than not watching it. But I'm just saying, I'm not saying Christian to everybody. I'm just saying some have just, I'll justify it because I'm on live stream. If you can be here, you ought to be here. It'd be better for you. Now, if you can't, you can't. And I get that. Don't get me wrong. Right? But Christians have withdrawn from the Christian, the church, the fellowship because they got hurt. Amen. At one time, they used to be close to other Christians, but a Christian hurt them. They used to be involved in the church and involved in the ministries and faithful, but they got hurt. And because they experienced hurt within the community, you know what they now do? They now associate that community with pain. And therefore, we understand anything that's hurtful, you're going to want to avoid. Anything that has hurt you in the past, you're naturally going to want to avoid. Right? So I understand it. And I'm not minimizing the hurts that some of God's people have experienced at the hand of other Christians or at the hand of a preacher or at the hand of a ministry. I understand that. Sadly, that's a reality. It ought not to be, but it is. And for those reasons, Christians, I'm done with the church. I'm done with God's people. I'm going to just protect myself. At least you think you are. Listen, I'm telling you, if you're looking for healing from hurt, you are not going to find it by hiding. But that's what people think, right? I'll heal by withdrawing. I'll heal by isolating myself. You're wrong. That's not how it works. That doesn't bring healing. Amen. God intended the church and the people of that church to help you heal and recover from your hurts. I'm telling you, I've seen it with my own eyeballs. Amen? Right? Listen, they protect themselves by staying away altogether. Or, if they don't stay away altogether, they keep a distance. You can't get close to them because they won't let you. Right? You can't get them involved because they don't want to get involved. Because they've associated, well, if I do that, I'm opening myself up again to have what happened to me 20 years ago at a different place with different people. I'm opening myself up to the possibility of that happening again, and I will not do that. Listen, I get it. I understand it. But you got to understand how dangerous that is. Amen? Sadly, the Christian community, the church, isn't a perfect community. And you ain't going to find one anywhere you look. I'm going to go to a place where no one's going to hurt me. You ain't going to find it. Well, Bible believe I got hurt there. Okay, go somewhere else. Give it enough time. You'll get hurt there. Well, they let me down there. Go somewhere else. They'll let you down there. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's the way it goes. You're dealing with humans and flesh and sinners. Come on. How can you have expectations of perfection? It doesn't exist. Right? But past hurts. Boy, it just has convinced Christians that they just don't need it anymore. Amen. I got a good friend of mine. We're not so much good friends anymore, but we used to be. Tight, close, serve the Lord, call, talk about the Bible, talk about ministry. He hadn't been in church in years. You know why? He got burnt. And he got legitimately burnt. He got burnt. At one place, went to another place, 2 years later, got burnt again. And you know what he has decided? Phooey. I'm not getting involved in ministry because ministry just means pain. I'm not getting around Christians because Christian just means pain. And he's isolated himself. You say, how has that affected? I could go on and on with the consequences of that because there sure have been some in his life. And probably the worst is yet to come. The effect it's had on his wife, the effect it's had on his children. Amen. Now look, let me say this to us this morning. You may have been hurt. There's probably a good chance you have in the church community. But I'll tell you this. I bet you've been helped a whole lot more than you've been hurt. Amen. I bet there's been a whole lot more people that have been a blessing to you than have been a bother to you and a burden to you and have wounded you. It's not even close. But people can't get over the one time, the one person. And they forget the other untold number of Christians that have been a blessing to them. Right? Past hurts. And they isolate themselves. Amen? I'll never go to church again. I'll never get in ministry again. You're not helping yourself by isolating yourself. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. Amen. So why do people decide to live in isolation? That's the title of the message, if you're wondering. Living in isolation because of past hurts. Now, I'll say this at the same time. Why do some Christians live in isolation? This is legitimate. I'll say it this way. Because of social anxiety. You know what? Some people are just naturally introverts. They're naturally that way, right? It's not because they don't care about people. It's not because they don't like people. They're just inclined to be that way, right? Some people just naturally prefer solitude. Naturally, that's their personality. Some people just struggle in being in large groups or gatherings. It just makes their skin crawl. That's okay. That's not their fault, right? It's not sinful, and it is not wrong to struggle with gatherings, okay? And it is, again, it's not that these people, it's not that they don't love people. It's not that they're even being rude. Now, it's often interpreted by other people as, well, that guy's stiff. Sure. Well, what's his problem? Sure. Right? Well, that guy's rude, or man, she's rude. Good night. Stay away from her. Yeah. But it's not even that they are. It's just the way they are. And that's okay. Right? That's okay. Pastor Tim Flora was just here back in April. Some of you might have noticed. He's not going to run around the building shaking hands. Right. He didn't. No. I've been in meetings with him. He doesn't. He goes, sits in, and sits on his, and that's all he's going to do. He's not going to go, you know, how are you, and how's the kids, how's the babies, how's the dog, you know. You're not going to get that from him. And we were talking, and he said, brother, I am that way. I'm not a people person. You say, would God call someone that's not a people person into the ministry? Yeah. Because that man can minister. Amen. It's not his preference. He likes solitude. He prefers that. And some of you are the same way, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, you got to be careful about that. All right? Because it can become very spiritually unhealthy to you. See, I'm pointing this out because I know people will justify, well, I don't go to fellowships and I don't talk to people because I'm just not an introvert. All right, because I am introvert. That's just me. I don't like that stuff. Okay, that's great. But here's the problem with that. You know, there's some things about your personality you just got to try to overcome. Right? It's not an excuse. It's a barrier. But guess what the Lord calls on us to do quite often? Overcome that stuff and do it in spite of those things. And make yourself. Would the Lord make me do something I'm not comfortable doing? Yes. For your own growth, for your own development. Right? Because again, there's nothing wrong with having a personality that way, but it can become very spiritually unhealthy. Right? Because ultimately what it's going to lead to is just total disconnect. Where it's just you, maybe your family, and you're so disconnected from, you don't even know their names. Oh, pray for so-and-so. Well, who's that? That's a problem. Yes. That means that church is just a place you go. It's not a family you've made, you haven't made yourself a part of it. It's a problem. Yeah. Right? I get it. I get people being different. I'll tell you another reason why people isolate themselves. Because of sin. Yep. Yeah. And the guilt and the shame that they feel because of their sin. Amen. Right? People isolate themselves, all right, here's why. Out of fear of being exposed. You see, their conscience is so tormented by what they're doing, and they're so insecure now that they think everybody is a step ahead of them. What do they know? What have they heard? What do they know? What have they heard? Nothing. Nothing. They've heard nothing. But your conscience is so convicted about what you did that you have to withdraw for fear. But maybe they found out. Maybe they're on to me. Maybe someone's exposed me. Now, you're laughing, but I'm telling you, it's truth. Yes. It's exactly why some Christians will withdraw, right? They've done something wrong, and they're embarrassed to face the shame that comes with perhaps someone finding out. You know, it makes me think of Adam and Eve in the garden. What did they do after they sinned? Well, in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 8 through 10, the Bible says this: "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife," guess what they did? Isolated themselves. Bible says they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Good luck giving that a try. Yeah. Amen. When he's omnipresent. Jonah tried the same thing. Didn't work for him either. Right? "Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." Why'd he hide himself? Shame. Shame over what? Sin. Yeah. That's what happens with Christians. That's why some of them aren't in church anymore. Amen. Right? Amen. Listen, let me say this to you, even if you do sin, and who doesn't? Let me say this to you, even if you do mess up and, you know, it becomes public. All right? I'm going to tell you this. You may want to isolate yourself. I'm telling you, that's the worst thing that you can do. I'll tell you this. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to think, well, I can't face the church, and I can't face them, and I can't ever come back. That's what Satan wants you to think, because then he's already got you down. Now he's going to take you all the way to the bottom. Yep. All right? Think about this. You know, in the book of Galatians in chapter 6, you know, the Bible says, "If any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." Yep. How can we restore you if you just run away and hide? Yeah. Right. You're not even giving yourself a chance to be lifted up and restored, hopefully, by the very people that you're trying to avoid. You're not helping yourself. You're hurting yourself. Right. Right? Even when you've sinned, it's the worst thing. It's the worst thing that you can do. Right? Let me say this. Why do people isolate? Why do Christians live in isolation? Well, some of them, it's because of busyness. They isolate themselves from the church and from the brethren, people in the church, simply because they're just too busy for all that. I got so much going on, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for church, I don't have time for fellowship, I don't have time for people. All right? Now, in some cases, they don't neglect the community, if you will, out of necessarily rebellion. They neglect it out of misplaced priorities. That's why. You know why they don't go to church much? It's because other things are more of a priority to them. Dr. Ruckman used to tell us, he used to make the statement, "You do what you rather." That's the truth. You do what you rather do. Amen. Right? And here's what people do nowadays. You know what people do? They prioritize other things. Sports. Work. Family gatherings. Hobbies. Personal projects. At the house. Now, all that stuff's fine. All that stuff's important. But there's probably a better time than on Sunday morning to go golfing or hunting or whatever. Amen? Here's what people do. Now, this is just the truth. People tend to prioritize when they have the chance to make a decision. Obviously, when you go to work, that decision is made for you. You don't get to say it. You don't have any vote on that. But here's what people do. People tend to prioritize what feels more restful. Amen? They tend to prioritize what feels more urgent, like this grass that needs mowed and this whatever else that needs done and it's weighing on you. They prioritize what feels more restful. They prioritize what feels more urgent. And they also prioritize what feels more fulfilling to them. Right? Well, that and that, and I have to make it a choice between the two. What is going to make me feel more fulfilled? And that's what I'm going to do. What's going to make me feel more rested? I'm going to choose that. What's more urgent? And that's what we base our decisions on. All too often. Amen. Sometimes the right thing to do that you need to do is not the route that would be the most restful. Yes. Amen. Sometimes the most important thing is not the thing that's pressing you the most. Sometimes the most important thing is not the thing that you find more satisfying than the other. Right? There's a lot of Christians that would feel, you know, that would feel more satisfied sitting on their couch tonight watching a football game than sitting in a pew listening to the Bible. And therefore, they prioritize that. Amen. That's why people isolate themselves. Amen. Right? If you're too busy for the Lord, Too busy for God's people, too busy for the church, the community. Listen, you probably have a priority problem. Amen. Busyness, it affects more than just the church community and the church. It affects, listen, busyness can isolate you from your own wife and kids. Right? And it does. Amen. Now listen, your busyness, I understand that it seems productive and it seems necessary. But if you're not careful, listen, your busyness is going to cause you to disconnect from a community that you need to be a part of. Amen. Good preaching, Andrew. Amen. I'll amen myself. It's true. It's true. Can I give you a couple more? I'm telling you, I've seen this stuff. I've seen it. I've seen it all. You know why some Christians isolate themselves from the church, from the fellowship, from the community? Because of pride. Let me explain. All right, some Christians choose isolation. All right, home church, internet church. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thumbs down.
Amen.
I think the Lord would be in agreement with that.
Amen.
In comparison to a local body of real people.
Yeah.
Right? Imperfect as they may be. Right? It's pride. All right, this is what they do. This is what they think to themselves. Well, I don't need this anymore. I don't need that. How? I do.
Amen.
I need this and I need you. I need to be around you.
Yeah.
What, how can you not need it? Well, the fact is they do. Their pride has deceived them into thinking they don't. Because
right.
Everybody needs it.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Some people in their pride say, well, I'm better off alone. Some people in their pride say, well, I can handle this on my own. I don't need anybody else. Really? Who are you?
Right.
I mean, Paul needed somebody.
That's right.
He had companions.
Amen.
Yeah? Read his letters. Hey, Titus, come over here. Timothy, come over here where I am.
Amen.
I need people. I need fellowship. I need other people around me. All right? Some people think, well, no one understands me at the church. They just don't understand me. What does that even mean?
Right.
What did you do? Did you send out a survey to come to that conclusion? No, you just think that stuff.
Right.
It's craziness.
Yes.
No one understands me there. They just can't relate to me. Amen. Maybe you don't understand yourself. Right? Some people think, well, who are they to tell me what to do? Some people think, again, they don't say it, well, I'm better than those people. How can I be benefited from them? And they isolate themselves. Pride. I don't need to go to church. I can read my Bible on my own. Yeah, you can. But I'll tell you this, there's something unique about preaching.
Amen.
Right? None of you, I don't mean this boastfully. Don't misunderstand me. There's none of you I don't care how much Bible you read today, none of you are going to get from your Bible reading what I'm giving you right now.
Right.
None of you are going to get done with your Bible reading and think today, you know what? I think my pride is causing me to isolate from the church and God's people. None of you are going to sit there and think, you know what? I think my past hurts have caused me to isolate from the church and from God's people. None of you are going to think that.
Right.
You know why those thoughts are going to be in your head? Because you were in church.
Yeah.
Under preaching. You wouldn't have got it any other way.
Right?
Yeah, you have a Bible on your own. Read it on your own. That's great. Minister to yourself, but listen, you need it. Some people just, you know, no church is good enough for them. Because there's so many flaws, I can't go there. I just can't go there. Right? Song service is too short. Song service is too long. Well, Pastor Andrew this. He's too loud. He's too quiet. He's too obnoxious. He's too this. He's too, right? Well, the service times. Oh, the service. Well, they start at the... And then the brethren. You know, the dress standards there are just not high enough for our family. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, we can't vex our children by allowing them to be in their Sunday schools. Now you laugh. I'm telling you, this is real. This is what people think. Right? We're so sanctified that we can't violate ourselves by being a part of a local church. Because not all the kids there have buzz cuts. and hike their britches up way too high and put a belt on way too tight, like our kids do. Amen. It's absurd, but it's true. I've met them. We've had them come here. Right? We can't put our kids in Sunday school. We can't do that. You know that same family that couldn't put their kids in Sunday school? Their kids are a total wreck. Their families are total, and I'm not talking bad about them. I'm just saying they have fallen way off the map. You got to watch extremes. That's another thing. This is not the message, but I have learned. These people that are extreme with certain things, you know what you'll find out about those people? They can shift to the other extreme very quickly. I've seen it over and over again. Amen? We go from, we can have our kids in Sunday school, to now they can listen to any music they want, dress however they want, tattoos and earrings. How do you go from that? You got to watch extremes, man. Ditches on both sides of the fence, or the road, as they say. But it's pride, pride. All right? You know what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9? Two are better than, guess what? One. All right? The truth is, you do need other people. Truth is, you are not better off on your own. Now, can you handle that? It's the truth. It's the truth for every one of us. Right? You need other brethren to exhort you, to challenge you, and to shape you. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 21? Listen to this verse. The Bible says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. And listen, there's not a Christian that can look at other Christians or the church and say, I have no need of thee. Amen. Yes, you do. Your pride has deceived you into thinking that you're justified in your isolation. Yep. It happens, man. Let me give you this quickly. I'll tell you another reason why some people withdraw and isolate themselves. It's kind of a strange way of saying it, but social fatigue. You know, some people isolate themselves for this reason. Because, man, being around people, let's just be honest. Being around people can drain you. Mentally, can suck the juice out of you. Physically, it can drain you. Emotionally, people can drain you. Spiritually, people can drain you. Right? Now, some people are particularly draining. Okay? Amen. We talked about it last week. I'll tell you, people that are just socially draining, complainers, man. Yes. They just drain you. Yeah. Right? To where you want to isolate. Amen. Amen. We don't need to go on that. We preached two messages on it last week. Oh, let me say this. Overly needy people will drain you.
Yes.
We're all needy from time to time. That's good. We need a community to help us, support us during those. But some people, it's just constant. And it just sucks the life out of you. To where you know what you want to do? Here they come! Hey, now, listen, you laugh at me, but you know you feel the same way. Here comes the complainer. Here comes the, you know, the overly dramatic. Here comes the constantly needy person. Let me run. Right? Listen, you know, the overly critical. Draining. Here they come with a complaint. About something. Critical. About something. Listen, some of you get this one. People that are chronic talkers will drain you, where you just want to tap out and surrender. I can't take anymore. Right? You can only pay attention so long, friend. Let's just be honest. Some people are chronic talkers. And again, when you see them coming, you think, it's going to be a while. Can we be real and truthful?
Right.
You know some. Yeah. Amen. You might even be one and not know it. Might be a blind spot. Right? Amen. I'll be honest with you. I'm in a lot. I have a lot of conversations with people. It's just the nature of it. But I struggle being in conversations for very long. I don't have the attention span. Not a matter of not caring. But you can only handle so much for so long. Amen? I'm glad your dog's doing well. I just don't care. Right? Amen. Amen. Right? Now listen, let's be honest. Don't you have some types of people that you'd like to ghost? Just avoid them. Just ignore them. Because you don't love them. It's just, I don't have the energy for this. It's the truth. Hey, look. Even Jesus Christ had to withdraw himself from people. God manifest in the flesh said, wait a minute, I need to isolate myself. And he did that. Now, he did it for the purpose of prayer, and I get all that. Amen? But even he did. All right, now listen, sometimes when we isolate ourselves, it's not because we're being mean. It's sometimes we need a break. Right, listen, again, I got to be careful to say these things. I don't want you to take it the wrong way. Sometimes I need a break. It isn't that I don't love you. I don't care about your needs. But sometimes I have to have a mental reset opportunity. I got nothing to give. And it isn't, can you receive that in the right spirit? Or am I, I'm not complaining, I'm just being honest. It's like, brother, if I don't call you right back, it's not because I don't care. It's I need a couple hours here to get myself stable again and situated again and reset. You can't just keep give. You got to have something to give and be able to, amen, right? It's true of all of it. The Lord Jesus Christ did it. Now, again, it's not that we don't care. It's not that we don't love. It's just we need space. Don't you need space?
Yes.
Amen, right? Now, look, taking a break, taking a moment, it's okay from time to time. But avoiding it altogether is not. I understand people can be fatiguing and exhausting, but you still need them. Still need them, right? Taking a break, it's okay, but it's not safe to avoid for very long. Amen. You need social interaction. You say, well, that's all I have, Facebook. Let me repeat. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me clearly. You need social interaction. That is not that. Call it what you want to. It's not real. It's not the same. It's not personal. It's words on a screen. You need social interaction with real people, present. Amen. It'll help you. Amen. Now, I'm going to take a couple more minutes, and I mean that. And I want to explain to you not just the causes of why people isolate themselves, but what are the consequences? I'll give it to you quickly. Number one, you isolate yourself from the church and from Christian people, you will be more vulnerable to temptation, to doubts, and discouragement.
That's right.
You're going to be a sitting duck.
Yep.
All by yourself. And don't you think Satan's going to pounce? He sure will. You're going to be more vulnerable to these things. Number two, you avoid the church and other Christian people and fellowship, your spiritual growth will be stunted.
Yes.
Iron sharpeneth iron. You can't be sharpened by iron if you're not around it. If you're avoiding iron, you're not going to be as sharp as you could be. It's going to stunt your spiritual growth. Right? I love being around people in here because they challenge me to be better. We need that. Right? Let me say this. The consequences of living in isolation as a Christian is simply this. You're living in disobedience. You can't provoke somebody if you're not around them. And on we could go. Right? I'll tell you this. You're going to drift from the Lord. Isolate from this. Isolate from the right kind of people. You are going to drift. Give it time. I'll tell you how it goes. This is how it starts. First, you'll stop slowly. You'll stop reading your Bible. That'll be the first thing you'll notice. After you've decided, you'll slowly stop. All right? Number two is this. Then you're going to slowly, very subtly, start making compromises that over time are going to turn into greater sins. Number three, you're going to justify it because there's no one around you to hold you accountable. You're going to drift from the Lord, friend. Just give it time. And let me say this. You isolate yourself from this Christian community, the church, God's people. I'll tell you another sad consequence is that that means that you're going to bear burdens alone that were meant to be shared. God doesn't want you bearing your burden by yourself. God designed a community to help us. Bear ye one another's burdens. Amen. Right? You don't want anything to do with that? You're hurting yourself. Right? All that's going to happen is your life's just going to get heavier and more difficult. You know, I was talking to Miss Ruth Beard this morning, and I was told I was praying for her, and I told her, I said, I still mention you on Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night, you know what she said? I can tell. I believe that. I believe that when people are praying for you, you can just tell it.
Amen.
Burdens get, they don't get removed, but they get a little bit more tolerable.
Sure.
But listen, you isolate yourself, you're not going to have any of that.
Right.
Who's going to help you? Well, I don't need help. We already talked about that. You do. You do. Amen? You're going to carry burdens alone that were meant to be shared. Amen. I don't want that. Hard enough with a community. It's hard enough with people praying for you. I don't want to do it alone. Thank God that's not what God intended. Right? He wants you to have a community to help you. Now again, as I said in the introduction of this message, the Lord did not intend for a Christian to live in isolation. We're meant to be part of a community because you need it. But also because you have a responsibility to each other. Amen? Now again, I understand you may have your reasons for isolating yourself, but you need to understand, look, you're not helping yourself, you're hurting yourself. You're not the better for it, you're the worse for it. Amen? Right? Listen, don't neglect one of the greatest assets the Lord has given you to help you live a successful Christian life. I got the Lord, I got my Bible. Got the Holy Spirit. That's right, you do. But God's also given you other tools that you need to help you. Amen? I read verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 4, but I'll read verse 9 and 10 together. The Bible says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth. Why? For he hath not another to help him up. You need other people. You need other Christian people. You need to be a part of the community. You cannot isolate yourself and live a successful Christian life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, your word, and God, we thank you for these thoughts, and God, I just felt so impressed how needful, I just believe it's so incredibly needful, God, to have dealt with what we dealt with this morning. And God, I'm not pointing the finger, I'm not condemning anybody. It's just, it's so important. And God, I just see so many Christian people that just, they're trying to do this thing, and they're trying to do it in isolation, and they're failing. And they're never going to only but fail. Until they understand that that's not how you designed the Christian life to be lived. God, you designed it to be lived amongst other Christians, connected to, in fellowship with other believers. Lord, we need it. Lord, I need it. I value it. And Lord, just like many in here, Lord, I could give a sob story about how I've been hurt by ministry or church or people. And Lord, if I wanted to, wanted to get bitter about it, I could use it as justification to isolate and to keep a distance. But Lord, that wouldn't be helping me, it'd be hurting me. So Lord, I don't know what reasons specifically, maybe some in here are sort of keeping everything at arm's length. Lord, they'll come here and it's a place that they'll go to, but it's not a family that they're willing it's not people that they're willing to make a family out of. And God, it's so important because that's what really the design is. We need you, but we need one another. So help us, Lord, to be challenged. Lord, maybe perhaps the Holy Spirit highlighted specifically some things in our lives about things that we're using to justify our isolation. God, I pray, help us not to justify those things anymore, understanding the consequences. Lord, please use your word. Holy Spirit, minister to hearts and help hearts, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name.